This WBEZ podcast is supported by Hacia, whose Executive Fellows Program provides Black and Latinx business owners with real-world tools and strategies needed to master fundamental management concepts related to company stability and growth. Registrants learn through one-on-one executive coaching sessions with subject matter experts in the areas of finance, business development, operations, and legal. More info at haciaworks.org. Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
I'm Susie Yon, and this is Reset. Climate change, gun violence. Kids have so much on their minds. Research shows mental health problems among children were already on the rise. The pandemic created a spike. The CDC says mental trauma makes up a growing proportion of children's visits to hospital emergency rooms. Starting in January, Illinois students, by law, can take up to 5 mental health days off school, excused and without a doctor's note. Soon we'll hear from a counselor, but we start with the bill's sponsor, Democratic State Senator Robert Martwick. He represents Chicago's Northwest Side and surrounding suburbs. For him, the bill's purpose is crystal clear.
Very simply, this is designed to help remove the stigma as we see rising suicide rates amongst our children with the immense pressures that they're facing both socially with social media in light of the global pandemic. We see these suicide rates rising, and we want those children to know that we want them to address their mental health before it becomes something that it's too big for them to address.
Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned at the top, these days would not need a doctor's note once the student returns to the classroom. You mentioned what we saw during the pandemic. Is that what inspired you to sponsor this bill? What we saw happening with some students during the pandemic?
Absolutely. And as I said, I think the pandemic just kind of was the perfect storm that brought all of these pressures that our young children are dealing with. And it just kind of swirled them all in together into one perfect storm. And we saw suicide rates really skyrocket. And, just in the interest of honesty, this is a bill idea that came from staff. You know, I love our citizen democracy. I'm a real estate lawyer, so mental health is not my, it's not what I do in my normal life, but a staffer by the name of Rena Tandon came forward with me and said, "Hey, I've been reading about this, and what do you think about sponsoring a law like this?" And it would really intrigue me, and we started down the path, and it really caught the attention of the General Assembly and the public at large, and we really saw an outcry from the general public that, yes, we need this, and that really helped the bill move through the legislative process.
What are you hoping the long-term benefits of this bill will be?
Well, undoubtedly, again, not an area of expertise, but if there's one thing that I've learned through my service in the General Assembly and attending hearings and hearing people speak about mental health, that the biggest threshold to cross is seeking help. Once you've sought help, then the rest of that is relatively easy once you cross that first mound. Or I shouldn't say it's easy, but at least you know help is on the way. But it's the problem start when people don't address it. And so the idea here is to raise awareness. And it also raises awareness not just amongst the children who may be experiencing mental health and not understanding what's going on with them, but it raises awareness in the schools too. At the advice of one of my colleagues, Senator Karina Villa, who was a school social worker by trade before she became a state senator, she suggested that we add in a provision that permits schools, after a student has taken 2 days of mental health, to then refer that child for further services, be it a social worker, school psychologist, or other person to help them, you know, so that we can try and identify what's going on and get them some intervention.
That's very important to note, because I would imagine, you know, for some students, you know, you get back to school and you still have all the responsibilities that you may have missed the day before, and that would be something to, offering them more services might help address maybe stresses when they come back.
Yeah, exactly. And as I said, you know, I think anyone, any adult can look back at their middle school and high school years and think about all the pressures that they were going through. And yet few have to deal with all of the added pressures that this generation of school children are going through. So this is a way of, you know, again, allowing them to kind of attend to their own mental health and raising awareness to the school that there might be a problem instead of just the child suffering in silence before they, you know, take some sort of harmful action.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the other end of it, you know, any concerns that students might use the mental health day policy as an excuse to just skip school?
Oh, sure. I think that is that was raised regularly. There's always, as in any law, there should be a little some dose of skepticism. My answer to that was that, not to make light of it, but those students who choose to skip school will find an excuse, no matter what it is, to skip school. And so I would much rather risk that as opposed to not offer this to the students who need that access to those mental health days. And I think that's been the reaction that I've received from people who've reached out to me to thank me for sponsoring the bill.
This is Reset. I'm Susie on in for Sasha Ann Simons. That's State Senator Robert Martwick, sponsor of a new law granting Illinois students 5 mental health days off of school each year. Thanks, Senator.
Thank you, Susan.
And we're going to bring Diana Castaneda into the conversation now. She's Director of Youth and Family Services at Community Counseling Centers of Chicago. Diana, welcome back to Reset.
Thank you.
So, Diana, what impact are you hoping this new Mental Health Day policy will have for children?
As the senator said, I would imagine the first step is in destigmatizing and normalizing that, just like kids get doctor's notes and miss school to go to the dentist, to go to their yearly physical, that this is a normal reason to take off from school as well, to tend to their mental health, to go see their psychiatrist, to go see their therapist, to get an initial appointment, to get into services. We're hoping that this moves the needle in allowing more kids who need services access to it and less stigma when trying to do so.
Mm-hmm. Any concerns that students or their parents might be reluctant to take mental health days off because they'd be flagged by the school's guidance counselor or nurse?
If that is a concern, I think we have to look at what's going on systemically. What is happening that this parent is not trusting that a guidance counselor or a nurse would be helpful at school, or not understanding? If it goes back to stigma, we're moving the needle slowly, but surely, hopefully. If there are other systems at play, then those are conversations that need to be happening at the school level as to what guidance counselors, nurses, people at schools can do to reassure parents that they will be supported and not shunned.
And Diana, what are the most common mental health challenges faced by children lately?
Anxiety, depression, uncertainty, social anxiety, I think, and going back to interacting with peers after they haven't in so long, all of which are pretty normal reactions to an unprecedented global pandemic that we haven't faced in 100 years. And so typically what parents can do in the past, having been a child and adolescent themselves, is reassure their kids it gets better, and they know that from experience. Right now we're facing a situation where we don't know the future, and even adults are having to admit that their reassurance comes with an asterisk because we don't know how this is going to play out, and we don't know how long it's going to be, and it is unpredictable. So the natural response to unpredictability is anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, during lockdown, remote learning, a lot was made of student mental health with isolation. But, you know, going back to school doesn't necessarily solve the problem. As you mentioned, you know, kids coming back for the first time, there's anxiety there for some students of just being around a lot of people all at once for the first time in over a year. Do you have any data on the rates of anxiety, or depression, or other mental health issues kids are facing?
Yeah, it depends sort of on the population and what we're seeing, but we're talking about probably at least a third of kids experiencing some consequence from the huge upheaval in their lives that includes some level of anxiety or depression, and the percentage of those that go on to also experience severe depression, including suicidal thoughts. But it is definitely higher numbers than what we've seen in recent years.
We've got a caller on the line, Dennis in Bloomingdale. You're on Reset.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment about, I know mental health for children is very important. I'm raising six children. Some of them are already raised. But we had one child that was at a doctor's appointment, and the doctor noticed that he was anxious with the procedure that she was going to do with him. So she recommended that he have some counseling, which we kind of dismissed out of hand. There was a record of that in his doctor's appointment record, and he was later on denied military service on that basis that he didn't follow up on that mental health issue that the doctor had said. And just in terms of these bills going through, are they considering the ramifications of having mental health records in their school files or their doctor's files and how that might affect them later on? So it's a consideration that I think is important.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that, Dennis. Diana, I mean, it sounds like this was an issue from years ago, but is this something that as a society we've kind of addressed or considered what Dennis laid out there?
Yeah, so I certainly don't have a expert background on the military, and so that's a specific system that I can't comment on their procedures. Generally speaking, moving forward, I think the hope is that anyone would see that on a record and not automatically assume that somebody cannot perform services just like their peers, at least not without doing an investigation. What's happening so far with so much stigma is that people are lacking curiosity and lacking follow-through. They see one thing and they make all sorts of assumptions instead of having more in-depth conversations about what's going on, what kind of treatment they've received, and how maybe having gone through the mental health issues might make them stronger candidates for all sorts of systems and situations.
Diana, what other factors might be contributing to children's mental health issues right now? What about the trauma of gun violence in some of Chicago's communities and of course, the racial reckoning? What are you hearing from families?
Absolutely, that the pandemic has exacerbated a lot of issues that they were already facing. They did not create new ones. Gun violence, instability, trauma in Black and brown communities, it's an ongoing issue. And in schools in particular, the importance of the mental health days and acknowledging this is how many teachers and students have had classmates lost to gun violence, lost to trauma, lost to suicide. And that is not being attended to. That is not being talked about. Enough care is not being given to these kids. And so even for a lot of issues now that aren't related to the pandemic, they needed these mental health days many years ago. So I'm glad the pandemic allowed it to finally happen, but this has been a need that's been ongoing for a long time.
And we've got another caller, Lisa in Skokie. Lisa, you are happy that this new law is in place.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic, actually. I was saying that I lost my daughter. Next week will be 6 years to suicide. She was a sophomore. And this is something that I've been trying to push for. I tried getting the school at the time to talk about it even more. Several kids at this particular school suffered the same ending, and it's something that I think is so necessary.
Well, Lisa, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us, and thank you for pushing for this type of law to go through. I think it is going to make a difference for a lot of students out there. Diana, this is exactly what you were talking about just now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First of all, Lisa, I'm sorry to hear about that loss. And we always want to feel like these deaths don't happen in vain, like we can do better, we can be preventative. Sometimes things can't be prevented, but we want to feel like we're moving the needle somewhat and we're helping kids get the help that they need and at least have some sort of chance to improve their mental health.
Diana, what suggestions do you have for parents or their guardians? Should they look out for that might not just be the typical teen insecurities and emotions, but could be something more serious. How do you know it's time to seek professional help with a child?
I would look at behaviorally, especially because as parents, it's normal to minimize maybe some of the things the kids are saying as kind of like teen drama and not that big. I would look out for behaviors. Even what was mentioned earlier, even if kids are skipping school, I mean, that should be a red flag that something's going on. Why are they skipping school? Is it test anxiety? Is it depression? Is it really just a fun, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off? What is going on here? Read the behaviors. Are their grades dropping below what they normally receive? Are they not able to get out of bed? Do you see them isolating more, passing up opportunities to do things that normally made them feel good about themselves? Look out for the behaviors and also do as much normalizing and validating of their feelings as possible in that process.
Diana, are you hopeful that this bill will increase the public's understanding of the mental health struggles of a lot of our children are facing and acknowledging that this problem actually exists?
Yes, I'm very hopeful that people will feel less inclined to minimize what kids are going through and just assume it'll pass and understand the enormity of the situation that we're facing. By extension, I think that in general, that this just brings more attention to the importance of prioritizing mental health in schools, you know, that teachers are also getting the support they need to cope with teaching students who may be traumatized, who may be depressed, who may be anxious. Teaching them is different than teaching a child who is not currently struggling with mental health issues, that principals and security guards and everybody in the school environment also feels like they are getting the support for their mental health they need, because by default, it will possibly impact kids if their environments are also well taken care of.
Right. I think we've got Sarah from Libertyville. Sarah, you're on Reset.
Well, you know, the kids are going through this issue, and it's not just the kids that are going, it's the family that is going through. It's affecting everybody emotionally, and it's very draining. So I think it needs to be more of a family counseling issue, and it's a lot. It's a lot that parents have to go through all this. Not just the parents, the family.
Yeah, it's hard for parents to watch their kids struggle. Diana, your reaction?
I agree with that 100%, and I'm happy to hear that acknowledgement. Parents often have the mentality that they need to do what's best for their kid and focus on their child. And what we really try to get parents to understand is that their mental health will positively impact their child's mental health if it's taken care of. So oftentimes parents feel guilty taking up attention or space for themselves or even their own therapy because they should be attending to their kids. And both those things are helpful to the kids, and talking about it together as a family in family therapy can be incredibly cathartic and therapeutic, to be able to communicate to each other how much pain they are in and how challenging it is, and be able to see that it can be hard, but they can still get through it together as a family.
That's Diana Castaneda, Director of Youth and Family Services at Community Counseling Centers of Chicago. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Reset. For more of our interviews, subscribe to this podcast. And please give us a rating. It helps other listeners find us. I'm Susie Ahn. Be well and come back tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause. And rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.